Blog Talk Radio.
That the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and truly glad to be with you this morning as we move forward in God's word. Whew, ain't God good? Isn't God good? Isn't God good? Say it with me. God is. Me home in the wee hours of the morning. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us home on a safe flight. We hit some turmoil, hallelujah, but God was there. You know, they asked us in mid-flight to put on our seat belt. We were coming in to turbulence, but God, hallelujah, got us safely. God is getting you safely through the turbulence of life, getting me safely through the turbulence of life. I'm thankful this morning that God gave us grace. You know, this morning we were given a challenge, and I thank Pastor Fred, and I thank God for Philippians. Thing he said was, can you for 1 hour not ask God for anything. So today, I'm just saying thank you, Lord, for all of you that come on early in the morning, that listen in as you're getting ready for work, that listen in on your drive to work. I thank God for those that are saying, Lord, I thank you that no me up this morning, even though I've only had about 3 hours of sleep, maybe four, almost four. I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for your grace that you woke me up this morning, started me on my way. Lord God, I thank you for giving me hope in the future. I thank you for just saying, Bridget, wake up. This is our second part of It's Time to Go to Work. David went to work on yesterday. Jesus has been working all through. He's working in me, and he's working in you. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord this morning that he gave you a place to sleep. Thank the Lord this morning that he gave you a heart to beat. Lord, this morning that he gave you a do-over. Father God, we come to you this morning thankful, grateful, and blessed to have another day because we know, Lord, somebody didn't wake up this morning. Somebody will not have an opportunity for a do-over. Somebody is asleep in the grave. Somebody is not going to make it in. Thank you for the brave teachers who shielded their students with their bodies, who were willing to give their life for someone else. Lord God, we thank you for those brave women who lost their lives with their students. But there will be no more pain. There will be no more fight. Lord God, we're praying for our children and thanking you for our children today, Lord God. I thank you for my adopted grandchildren. I thank you, Lord, that you put them in my life. I thank you, Lord, for the smiles as I see my grandson just happy. And he nobody there, running through the airport with his little bag, just smiling and happy to be free from the box, to be free to just run and come back and just huge smile because he is happy to say we made it. Thank you, Lord. Father God, I thank you in advance for increasing as I decrease, Lord God, for letting the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, Lord, be acceptable in your sight. I thank you this morning. In the name of Jesus, I lift this word up to you, Lord God. I thank you for being my strength. I thank you for being my redeemer. In the midst, hallelujah, for your son. Amen. Thanking God right now, but lifting up, giving him glory, giving him honor, giving him thanks. Woo, Jesus! Your girl is happy this morning. I'm going to have my grandchild's mom. on there. Happy to have had a great weekend. Giving thanks to God for my granddaughter and her roommates, all of them. Every last one graduated in 4 years from Johns Hopkins University. Come on now. Our children did it. And God was with them all. So I say thank you, Lord. Jesus' name, thank you. Woo, glory! I know y'all like, we should just get on with the lesson. I can't, because I just can't stop praising him this morning. Saying thank you, Lord. I'm ready to go to work. Woo, Jesus, I'm ready to go to work on this 26th day of May. We are also coming from the 68th Psalm, verses 7 through 10, Proverbs 17:5-6, and our title is coming out of John chapter 9. And the word of God coming into us this morning. And that word is this. Now these are the last words of David. Thus says David, the son of Jesse. Thus says the man raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, my tongue, the God of Israel. Ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be like the light of the morning when the sun rises, a morning without clouds, like the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. And last night when we came in, or early this morning when we came in, where you could see where rain had come. But guess what? We had no rain. Just a sprinkle here, a sprinkle there. But no rain to stop our journey home. I just drove and God took the wheel. Woo! And he did take the wheel because this girl was tired. Because Eastern time is no joke. You feel like you're off. They're 11, and the next thing you know, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. But I thank God, hallelujah, that he woke us up. I thank God that he gave me a pep in my step. By the time I made it home, I had heard glory to God in the highest. Glory to God is the highest praise. You are the Lord God Almighty. You are highly exalted over all the And God drove the car, but all I know is I got all pepped up after that song. I sang all the way home from that point on. Hallelujah. We go into the rest of the word, verse number 5. Although my house is not so with God, yet he has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure. But this is all my salvation and thorns thrust away, because they cannot be taken with hands. But the man who touches them must be armed with iron, and they shall be utterly burned with fire in their place. These are the names of the mighty men whom David had. You know, David, roll with his crew. They were his aces. You know, these 600 men, and then David had a special smaller crew that was like right there with him, you know, covering his back, covering him in the front, covering him in the back, covering him where he went, covering where he didn't go. They covered their leader. Had to go again. I must do the work. He was doing the work. He was a king. Yes, he went through his ups. Yes, he went through his downs. But he had his folks that didn't leave him because they trusted in him, because he loved God, and God loved him. That man was named the Techumite, chief among the captains. He was called Adino the Ezmite because he had killed 800 men at one time. You think that through. 800 men at one time. And after him was Elijah the son of Dodo the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines. Was weary, and he had stuck to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to plunder. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Herahite. The Philistine had gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. So the people fled from the Philistines. A great victory. Then three of the 30 chief men went down at harvest time and came to David at the cave of Adullam, and the troop of Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David said with longing, "Oh, that someone would give me a drink of the water from the well of Bethlehem." Bethlehem, these three mighty men, let's go ahead and let's read it. It says, broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord. And he said, far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is this not the blood of the men who went? Would not drink it. These things were done by the three mighty men. Now Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief of another three. He lifted his 100 men, killed them, and won a name among these three. Was he not the most honored of three? Therefore he became their captain. However, he did not attack. Man from Kebazel, who had done many deeds. He had killed two lions like heroes of Moab. He also had gone down and killed a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day, and he killed an Egyptian, a spectacular man. The Egyptian had a spear in his hand, so he went down to him with a staff. That was the and won a name among three mighty men. He was more honored than the 30, but he did not attain to the first three. And David appointed him over his guard. They didn't say, well, I'm tired. David, you know, is going through all this stuff. Why do we have to do all this? Are you going to work for God today? And it says, as Asa, the brother of Joab, was one of the 30. Elhanan, the son of Dodo of Bethlehem. Shemaiah, the Herodite. Heli, the Pelonite. Ira, the son of Ikesh, the Tikar. The Ahohite, Mahara, the Netophite, Halib, the son of Benani of the Nephthite, Itai, the son of Reba, and from Geba of the children of Benjamin, Benani of a Piratite, Hadai, from the brooks of Gesh, Abi Abba. Abba, the Shabbanite, the son of Jesse, Jonathan, Shema, the Heratite, Ahem, the son of Shira, the Herite, Eliphelet, the son of Ishashabah, the son of the Mekahite, Elam, the son of the Etaphah, the Gilonite, Hezra, the Carmelite, Ammonite, Naharai, the Berahite, Armbearer of Joab, the son of Zerah, Ira, the Ittite, the Itarite, Gareth, the Itarite, and Uriah, the Hittite, 37 in all. Now understand, Uriah was one of his aces, and he slept with his wife. But understand one thing. You repent of your sins. Do you ask God, Lord, please forgive me for everything I've done against your divine majesty? I lift my hand this morning and say, Lord, please forgive me for all my sins, spoken, unspoken, seen, unseen, thoughts, whatever they are. Father God, I ask you to please. Jesus' name, woo! I lift up my hand and give you praise. And just say, thank you, Lord. As we get into chapter 24 of Second Samuel, chapter 24, I got all over to the Psalms. I'm excited this morning. But I'm back in Second Samuel. Israel and Judah. So the king said to Joab, the commander of the army, who was with him, now go throughout all the tribes of Israel from Dan to Beersheba and count the people, that I may know the number of the people. And Joab said to the king, now may the Lord your God add to the people 100 times more than there are, and may the eyes of my lord the king see it. But why do For Joab and the captains of the army went out from the presence of the king to count the people of Israel. And they crossed over the Jordan and counted Aroer on the right side of the town, which is in the midst of the ravine of Gad, and toward Gazal. Then they came to Gilead and to the land of Tatim, Hadesh, They came to dance. Went out south Judah as far as Beersheba. So when they had gone through all the land, they came to Jerusalem at the end of 9 months and 20 days. Then Joab gave the sum of the number of the people to the king, and there was in Israel 800,000 valiant men who drove the sword, and the men of Judah were 500,000 men. And David's heart for the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. Now when David arose in the morning, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Gad. David said, saying, go and tell David, thus says the Lord, I offer you three things. Choose one of them for yourself, that I may do it to you. So Gad came to David and told him, and he said to him, enemies while they pursue you, or shall there be 3 days plague in your land? Now consider what answer I should take back to him who sent me. And David said to God, I am in great distress. Please let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, but do not let me fall into the hand of men. Of the people died. And when the angel stretched out his hand over Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord relented from the destruction and said to the angel who was destroying the people, it is enough. Now restrain your hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite. Then David spoke to the Lord when he saw the angel who was striking the people and said, surely, against me and against my father's house. And Gad came that day to David and said, go out to the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite. So David, according to the word of God, went up as the Lord commanded. And Araunah looked and saw the king and his servants coming toward him. So Araunah went out and bowed with and David said, to buy the thrashing floor from which to build an altar to the Lord, that the plague may be withdrawn from the people. Now, Araunah said to David, let my lord the king take an offer of whatever seems good to him. Look, here are oxen for burnt offering and thrashing implements and the yoke to the king. And Araunah said to the king, may the Lord your God accept you. Then the king said to Araunah, no, but I will surely buy it from you for a price, nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which cost me nothing. David said, I got to pay for this. So David brought the threshing floor, the oxen for 50 shekels of silver, and David built and the plague which was drawn from Israel. David didn't try to take something for nothing to give to God, paid for. David said, I'm paying for whatever I give to the Lord. I will not shortchange my God. And as we go forth in our life, lessons from Lord, for his mercies are great. David counted on the mercy of God not to remove him from all in the life of this nation. Even in judgment, God showed mercy. God showed mercy. And then it says, as we go back to verse 24, nor honor God by offering a gift that costs him nothing. God wants our best, not because he needs it, but because by giving, we demonstrate that our goods are not our God. That's a word. Our goods are not our God. Some folks need to remember that. Stuff is stuff. As we clean my grandmother piled up for her that we are not sure what to do with, because she has interviewed for a position, and God's will is hers. If it's not his will, then it's not. It's all in the hands of God, and I'm thanking him in advance for watching over her. Whatever God decides, I pray she will do. Little while, but it's like, Lord have mercy, this child has a lot of stuff, and to mail all that stuff home would be enormous. So we're just trying to decide if we're going to hire you all, haul it all to storage, or just let it stay there until God tells her if she's got the job that she's applied for, and then that she can move. Oh God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, Selah, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of when it was weary. Your congregation dwelt in it. You, O God, provided from your goodness for the poor. Thank you, Jesus. We all have been poor in our life, and we know that it was God who provided. And as we go into Proverbs 17:5, he who mocks the poor reproaches his maker. Children are the crowd of old men, and the glory of children is their father. Praise God this morning. Praise Father God, of whom all blessings flow. Thank you, Lord. And as we go over to our life lesson from Proverbs 17:5, again, he who mocks the poor reproaches his mouth. Poverty to mock God. God said the poor will always exist. Remember that from Deuteronomy and Matthew. We are to help them, not mock them. God spoke in Deuteronomy as well as the Savior in Matthew. Thank you, God. And our New Testament word. Again, family, it's time to go to work. Are you ready? Who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the work of God should be revealed in him. I must work. Come on now. The works of him who sent me. In the world, I am the light of the world. You better speak, Savior. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Jesus said, it's I must work. And I say to you today, we must work. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. It's time to go to work, family, while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work as long as he sat on the ground, made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, a saline, which is translated sent. Jesus sent him to sin because he wanted testing. It was a testing also. Do you have faith that what I do? Get on the ground and make some clay and stick it on his eyes. Ooh, that's just nasty. But it was faith. The blind man had clay placed on his eyes. Really clay, if you want to say it. But he didn't get all bent out of shape. Instead, he went where he was sent to sin. So he went and washed and came back. Your mental, your physical, your absolute eyesight, because you went where you were sent. Hallelujah. And it goes on to say, therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. He said, I am he. Know a man called Jesus this morning. I know him. He is my friend. He is my Savior. He is my provider. He is my everything. I know that man. Do you know him? Do you know Jesus this morning? I'm filled up, family. I am filled to the brim with overflow. Thank you, Lord. This man said a man called Jesus made clay. I went and watched, and I received my sight. Then they said to him, where is it? I don't know. I do not know. They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Here they go again, complaining about someone doing the work that God sent him to do on the Sabbath day. My God, come on now. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight, and he said to them, he put clay on my eyes, and I watch, and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. Among them. Now they getting all willy-nilly because they don't know what to say, saying, wait a minute, he did good on the Sabbath. Why are we complaining about somebody doing good on the Sabbath? He wasn't working like we working. Are we working on the Sabbath? Are we doing good on the Sabbath? Are we ministering on the Sabbath? Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do open your eyes. And he said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe the saying that he had been blind and received this until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, is your son, who you say was born blind, how then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by faith as him, he will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. But the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he is of age. Ask him. Ooh. What a word this morning, y'all. What a word. That is all our word today. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the work could be revealed in him. It is always dangerous to assume that some sin is to blame for a physical ailment. What a word. I'm going to read that again. It is always dangerous to assume that some sin is his glory. Whatever you may go through, you got to use whatever it is to give God glory. When you wake up in the morning and can barely walk, you say, thank you, Lord, that I can walk at all. Pain and all. Thank you, Lord, that I can move my hands. Thank you, Lord. Our weakness for God's strength. It says, were they purposefully adding insult to injury? As the people gathered around the blind man, they proclaimed that it was due to sin that the man could not see. This is often the plight of someone going through suffering. As much pain as the sufferer is in, people are eager to point out that he or she must have we all have gone through. The reason that this is happening is because they did this, that, and the other. And I remember when trials in your life are overwhelming and people offer no comfort, only condemnation, it can almost be too much for the heart to handle. Yet, even as struggles and criticism compound in your life, the Lord offers the works of God should be revealed in him. Whatever your trial, you can eagerly expect that God is going to display his glory through you. That is why Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 12:10, I take pleasure in infirmity, in reproaches, in need, in persecution, in distress, you are strong in the Lord. And as we finish up this word this morning, from this life example, our last word, Paul knew that whatever the situation, God would prevail. This is true for you as well. Life is hard, often unjustly. So, and people are often critical. But our word today. Count on God to be your strength, and his glory will be shown through you. Let the Lord use you as you work the work you are called today. Let God use you. Let your test be your testimony. Whatever you've gone through, let it be your testimony. Need you to have faith that you can do whatever it is you're called to do by God. And our prayer for this morning is this: increase my faith. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith in Luke chapter 17, verse 5 in Matthew. Mighty God, a living thing that is outside of your grasp. This word just touches my heart. There is not a living thing that is outside of your grasp. Even the fly on the wall is not outside the grasp of God, or the tiny little ant. Are the originator of all things, including my own faith. Lord, as I live for you in this life, would you fill it with the goodness of your character? As your child, I know I can come to you with anything, and you will receive me. And yet, even the apostles who journey with Jesus day to day ask for him to increase their faith. How much more do I life, even so, increase my faith, Lord, that I journey with you. I would walk in greater confidence in who you are in me and I in you. Do you have faith today? Are you ready to go to work today for God? Don't worry about what he said, she said, woo-woo down the street said. Just do what you're called to do. Do missionary work. If you're called to be an evangelist, then help the poor and the needy. Help the sinner that's lost. Do what you're called to do. This is what I'm called to do, to minister the word of God. And all I can say this morning is thank you, Lord, for waking me up. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for waking us up this morning. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for each and every one of us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Who's giving God grace and honor and praise this morning? Just getting filled up when I think about the work God calls us to do. And the question becomes, are we doing it? Whatever you call me to do, Lord, just guide me to it. And before we get out of here this morning, a word from our sister in Christ. For those that had to leave yesterday before we got to Sister Carol's word, the word for yesterday morning is this: when God speaks to you, he does so from where you are going, not where you are. That is going to work on part one. It's time to go to morning. What looks like a setback, amen, is oftentimes set up for you to come up to trust in God. Have a trust in God that, as Sister Carolyn said, have a triumphant faith. So I'm going to say, have a thankful. this morning, if there is anybody with a testimony or anything they want to say, now is the time to put your hand in the air and push that number one on your phone or push the talk button on your social media, and your line will be open. If there is no one that has anything that God has placed on your heart, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours to have a blessed and wonderful day. And I pray you have a great day at work, because it's time to go to work, and it's time to go to work for God. Again, if there's no one that has a word, then we are wrapped, and it's time for me to go to work that pays the bill. God give you peace. God give you grace. God give you love. God give you every desire of your heart. God give you all that he can, which is salvation. So I thank God for each and every one of you, and I say again, thank you, Lord. We are ready to go to work. Hallelujah. Have a great day, family. It's a wrap.